Everybody, welcome to a Wednesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Murray alongside. We'll take you to three-handed after our buddy Phil Benatti's fine show. Behind the bench, we'll take you to Giant pregame at 5:10. Giants and the Rockies coming up. The Mets have already lost today. The Padres are playing right now against Baltimore. And, of course, the Padres losing a key reliever a little bit earlier in the week. And I bring this up only because the Giants' mathematical chance could turn into more than just a mathematical chance if the rest of this week goes well. And for the Giants, that means sweeping in Denver. That's an imperative. They can't let one get away in Colorado against the Rocks. And then off to St. Louis, very winnable games for the Giants. Maybe a pipe dream, but they still have a shot at this thing, but it's going to have to go right. And they don't own tiebreakers that they're going to need at the end of the year. And I think most people know by now, when they expanded the playoffs, they took away the ability to play head-to-head if you end up tied at the end of the year. Used to be you played head-to-head no matter what, if it were for a playoff berth. The seeding, no, but a playoff berth. Now, that's not the case. It is a tiebreaker, period. And so the Giants are going to have to pull out ahead of somebody. So it's a way of saying it's going to be really tough, but at least they're still in the hunt, at least at the moment. We'll see how it plays out. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And a great booster at Fresno State. We'll tell you more about the business a little bit later on. For us today, it's Jackson Moore on a Wednesday. That's unusual, but with Labor Day and changes in schedules, we talked to Paul yesterday. We'll talk to Matt Norvell, who will call the Fresno State Southern game on television a little over a week on Channel 47. We'll talk to Matt tomorrow and then Panish on Friday. And by the way, Panish is already emailing me, pounding his chest about Speedy Luke. Yes, we know. He's a St. John Bosco Brave, Brian. We're aware of it, and we're very pleased that he's playing well. So that'll be the lineup the rest of the week. We'll get to Jackson in just a moment. But first, as always, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, our buddies at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. It's so great to have the local entity of this international and national corporation on Fresno State's side. They have the great Phillips offer going up right now, $7 for crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. That $7 offer for any of those with drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. It also lets you top it off with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda if you'd like. That's brand new, and it's a terrific chance for you to stop on by. And if you do stop by in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of the solution at Fresno State. Also, keep in mind, on Tuesdays, you still have the terrific $10 eight-piece bucket, and that is dark meat, fried chicken, or original recipe tenders. Been there for a good long while. Still there on Tuesdays. Also, you have the Country Fried Steak offer selective locations on Wednesdays, so you might want to call and ask, depending upon where you're stopping by. But we do want to thank the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for being part of the solution at Fresno State. The other reminders. One comes from our buddy Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe's been a friend for many years and a terrific booster at Fresno State for over three decades now, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. He's been able to give directly to Fresno State to benefit student-athletes. Now, of course, it goes to the university, and they're able to disperse that to athletes the way they choose. But Joe's been a guy who's been at the forefront of this for a good long while. And one of the reasons that his business has been so successful is the personal touch he has. It's what he does for Fresno State, helping out because he cares a lot about people there and he cares a lot about his clientele. So if you're someone who's working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, run a boiler service, tanker delivery service, anything along those lines, you have a valve, it can be catastrophic if that valve goes down. And what Joe can do and Gabe, who works for Joe, at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, they can analyze your situation. If you stop on by, or you can give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. or more on the web at SuperiorPipeUSA.com or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. They will analyze your situation, and then they'll look at the great inventory they have with pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, all there in-house, and they'll develop a plan to keep you up and running if you're starting to see a problem. If it's already become a major problem, they'll put you right back where you need to be before it hits your business in a negative look. And it's something that Joe has been able to do for 25 years. And if you stop by after he addresses the needs for your business, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he's been able to do for Fresno State and will tell you in regard to a donation right now. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. Click on the donate link. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Also information for tickets and parking for all events on campus, like the Southern game coming up in what should be a really good environment. It's going to be a terrific weekend where the Bulldogs are on the road weather-wise. I hope it holds that way for the following week. But also, you've got the sports clubs where, in addition to the information for everything, tickets and parking and all events on campus, you can go to the direct access to the sports club, so your money goes right to that team you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every week to talk basketball. Jack on the board of directors there. They'd love to see more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell if you want more info. 559-287-3305 or FurtickJack@AOL.com. There's also a link there for the Dugout Club and then other men's and women's sports as well under Ways to Give. And then finally mentioned it in regard to KFC, but the critically important Bulldog Bread Collective, Marcus McMarion heading it up. Chris started at the station, handed it off to Marcus, doing a terrific job. And again, let's keep in mind, you've got a $20.5 million cap, but you also have NIL monies that are separate. Matter of fact, if I have a few minutes with Jackson today, going to talk about the fact that in the NBA, Steve Ballmer and the Clippers evidently have been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, forming a corporation just to pay Kawhi Leonard on the side to keep from going over the salary cap. And that is a big no-no in the NBA, and that can cost you not only money, which Ballmer doesn't care about the money, but it can cost you draft choices, and it can cost you players if you're not careful. I'd like to see college get a hard line cap like that instead of allowing NIL monies to be separate. But that's the rule right now, and as long as NIL is separate, it becomes critically important to the lifeblood of everything you do. And as a Fresno State, in all honesty, you can't reach the $20.5 million anyway, that cap. So you might as well make sure whatever monies you can gather up, both directly from the university or coming from sponsorship from the outside, you get it all put together to try to not only acquire players, but as we've talked, maybe more importantly, to retain players. You do such a great job as a coaching staff of developing talent, then you got to keep from the vultures showing up to steal it. And that's just the way it works. And anyway, anybody who has any idea, sponsorship-wise, as far as donation, anything, contact Marcus McMarion, BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Thanks again to Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you about that. And it's always great to see people stop by Joe's business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103. Say hello to Joe. See what he can do for your business, even if it's just a social call. He'd love to see you stop on by and talk Fresno State. And then finally, the last reminder, other lead dog, longtime sponsors, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have been in the Central Valley since 1981. See the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work, even during COVID. Really professional people. And they allow me the time every day to tell you the weather. And this is, except for the fire issues, and that is a little bit like, other than the play, how you like, you know, everything else going on, Mrs. Lincoln. Other than that, okay, here's the thing, okay. You've got a circumstance with these fires that are causing the haze in the air, but it's also creating a lot of problems. The Garnet Fire continues to grow. I think at last check, 29,000 acres, 12% containment. It's up there around Dinky Creek, Pine Flat Reservoir. in the Sierras, and it is a real problem right now. I know Tuolumne County, they had a major fire. So we're seeing the same situation, and that is when we get these storms up in the hills, without a lot of vegetation having the moisture it needs, you're finding the lightning strikes that are causing these fires. And right now, it's also creating a problem with everything in regard to air quality. So temperatures are good. The air quality is not great right now, so be very, very careful. As far as the temps, 99 today, 99 tomorrow, 94 coming up as we roll a little bit farther into the week. And it causes you to think about a weekend that will be 92 and then 90 and 89 across next week. So when you look at the temps, in the 60s at night and in the 90s in the daytime, this is terrific. As long as the air clears out, we'll see what happens with the winds and everything else, but be very careful. And obviously, always our prayers with all the firefighters there, because it's a real dangerous gig, that's for sure. By the way, at last check, there was that accident off of Willow and Fryant yesterday, and I think it was a propane tank that was involved in a tanker. I think that Fryant is still closed there, so if you're headed up in that direction, you might want to check about that as well. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to talk about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lees. Also, Lee's sponsors the hotline. That's how we bring guests like Jackson Moore up, and how Phil not only brings up his guests, but also callers from the general public, 559-320-1430. And by the way, what I was attempting to say, other than that, how did you like to play Mrs. Lincoln? We've talked about it a million times, and I managed, for the first time ever, I think, to screw that up. Abe, if you're mad enough, you'll jump right back out of the grave, although you're probably skeletal at this point. You come after me, and maybe you find some relative of John Wilkes Booth, and you even the score. All right, I bet Jackson Moore did not think that would be the intro today. Let's bring him up right now, our de facto co-host and the proprietor of Barkboard.com. Jackson, you have told me many times you're not sure about the intro. How about this one? Was this one okay?
I don't even know where to begin.
Nor do I, and I'm the guy who's perpetrating the problem. So it's always great to have you on. I do want to start right away by, it seems like every time you have a great special, it's the one day you're not on with me or something. What do you have still going on specials-wise on the board right now?
Yes, for the rest of this week now, it's going to be 60% off the gear. If people want to join VIP, it comes out to just $4 a month that way. So hope people check it out and take advantage.
Well, it is a great, great avenue for Bulldog fans. And if you don't have a sub to parkboard.com, the insider board, you're really missing out with things, that's for sure. All right, Jackson, real quick here before we jump into Fresno State, and a lot to talk about. What I was mentioning, I don't want it to go by the boards. I'll try to talk to Panish about it on Friday. We'll play Where's Waldo? Brian was in Scotland last week. I assume he's back in L.A. now, like I said, pounding his chest about Speedy Luke. Because, you know, if somebody goes to St. John Bosco, you realize they go right to the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you're aware of that. Directly to the College and National Football League Hall of Fame. If Brian were the only voter, that's what would happen. And look, the guy's got a – he's got a – stadium named after his family, all right, because he paid for it. So I guess he has the right to say that. I'm taking cheap shots right now waiting for Friday. I will try to address this salary cap issue with him, but I want to ask you, Jackson, if we are not going to have a hard cap like the NBA has that says you can't run around and pull monies from somewhere else and play a semantic game, it's useless, right? I mean, I never mind that a Fresno State or most schools can't reach $20.5 million anyway. One more time, when people say, well, it's a relative few that it affects. Yeah, but the relative few, player-wise, happen to be the ones that make a big difference, right? It's not the third stringer that's out there making that kind of money. It's the guys that are changing schools, that are changing the entire dynamic. Is it pointless to worry about it unless you're going to stop NIL money from being able to circumvent that $20.5 million?
I think from a Fresno State perspective, it inflates things when teams can go beyond that number. And so you've got a lot of these I would say, low-end power conference schools that Fresno State has historically been kind of neck and neck with, but now have $25 million to spend that Fresno State doesn't, and that's going to create a gulf. And then if teams are going beyond that 25, and those, you know, maybe if that was just the 25, some of these schools might be able to get by with a lesser member, but knowing that the biggest of the big boys in college football are going to find ways to go way over, they at least need to get to that 25. So, I mean, even you look at Cal and Oregon State, for example, playing against each other. I mean, there is a wide difference in the amount of money those two teams paid for those two rosters. And, you know, hopefully that's not only the reason why that game was lopsided and that Fresno State beat them the same way that Cal did this weekend, but it definitely changes the math a bit. And but the big picture for Fresno State is just to be competitive with your peers, and none of their peers are approaching that range, as you mentioned, but there are dominoes from what's going on at the top.
Well, again, the reality is those very few players, you can't be dismissive about the numbers, because it is that small group that determines so much of how things are going to play out on the field. The great blue chippers and the key depth you have. So it's not just about, okay, we've got X number. I've heard this argument, Jackson. We have X number of players in college football. This affects 1%. No, it affects those that affect the game. And that's the bottom line. It's the same way it is in the professional leagues. We'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see how this Clipper thing plays out. Because I'll tell you one thing, you know, years gone by, we know that the Ohio State folks had Maurice Claret on the no-show job. He's supposed to be sweeping floors, right? Well, Kawhi Leonard's no-show job was worth $28 million. That's quite a no-show gig right there, okay? I will purport to you, Jackson, as much as you enjoy your work, if somebody said, here's $28 million not to show up, I'm guessing you'd find something else to do with your time. Am I correct?
So. I guess I'd have to.
Yeah, I think I would spend most of my time picking up the phone and telling people what I really think of them from years gone by. I say, you know what, I've got this money now, so here, I'm going to tell you what I wanted to tell you in 1983, something like that. All right. Kind of like talking to my relatives. Now, thank you. I want to get, since you brought up Oregon State, before we go back to last Saturday, I want to get to a comment, and I brought it up with Paul yesterday, that I think may have gone by that Matt Entz made during the press conference. He went out of his way, Jackson, to say, you know what? What happened to Oregon State this last week, if you're going to draw a conclusion with that, then it would be the same as drawing the conclusion about what happened with us against Kansas is who we really are. And the Bulldogs proved that was not the case. And I get the feeling that Matt is going to continue to remind this team that Oregon State, A, was embarrassed, A, plus they were angry, still are, because they lost to a team that left them at the altar in Cal, and you know that that's a byproduct of a lot of resentment up there right now. And they do not want to lose two in a row at home to start. They have an athletic director who certainly does not want to be losing to his beloved alma mater, all right? And I have a real strong feeling that what Matt was saying is what you saw against Cal is not the same Oregon State team you're going to see. You can beat them if you play well, but don't think that you're going to see the same club that Cal ran over for four quarters. Is that the message that you perceived as well coming from Matt Entz to his team through the media?
Yeah, I believe so. I think, you know, they have every opportunity to turn things around from their first game to their second. That Fresno State just proved going from Kansas to Georgia Southern, but just in general, how much of that was competition level for the Bulldogs, and could it be similar for the Beavers? Again, Cal's a program that hasn't been setting the college football on fire by any means, right, but they've got 10-plus million to spend on their football roster that the Beavers and the Bulldogs don't. So they should, if everything has worked out right, the Golden Bears be able to put on a superior product, theoretically, and it looked that way. I think probably in the trenches to say that's the biggest challenge. And we know Fresno State went from being undermanned against Kansas to just dominating Georgia Southern. So things can trickle down and look a lot better for the Beavers going in the trenches and going up against the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for Fresno State in this matchup. I think Oregon State's going to look a lot better than they did in their first game. And then, you know, where does that collide? Probably a close game. You just never know quite where on the spectrum it's going to be. You kind of figured that the pendulum would only swing so much for Fresno State to maybe squeak out a win against Georgia Southern. It went all the way to blowout territory. So you just don't quite know where the actual divide is between these two teams till they get going.
Well, and that's the great point, and that's why yesterday I brought up it's a little bit of to tell the truth, right, with a real so-and-so. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. Let's put it this way. Will the real Bulldog team please stand up? Which one? The one that had trouble getting out of its own way in the first half last week? The one that was dominant in the second half? The one that had issues at Kansas early on that caused them to get into a hole they couldn't get out of? So three of the four halves, the Bulldogs did not play great football, but the one half we saw them play well, they played exceptionally well, and it was the last time we saw them on the field. So when you draw that parallel, Jackson, do you say that what we saw was the natural evolution from week one to week two, therefore look out for Oregon State because it was their first game out of the box? Or is there part of you that says Fresno State, if it can get out of its own way, because I was mentioning to Paul yesterday, I had three of my buddies who make the sojourn every Labor Day weekend to go to Vegas, and like I said, they call themselves the three divorceketeers. I think they make too many trips there. That's why they are all divorced, okay? But wanted to know at halftime, should they be putting money down? And I said, yes, if you're confident that Fresno State can quit beating itself, the Bulldogs are going to roll in the second half because Georgia Southern never stopped Fresno State in the first half. Fresno State did a good job of stopping Fresno State. Can the Bulldogs go in with that attitude, Jackson, saying, yeah, it's a future conference mate in Oregon State. Yes, it's on the road. Yeah, we're underdogs, but then again, they were underdogs at home by the time they started that game last week. But if we go and play the game we played in the second half, what is under our control, we will go up there and win. I mean, I'm confident that they will. If the Bulldogs play well and Oregon State plays well, Fresno State's going to win. That's how I feel about this game. Usually when you're on the road and you're an underdog, people will say, well, if both teams play well, the favorite's going to win. I don't think so. I think if they both play to a good enough level, Fresno State wins. It will take the Bulldogs playing down for Oregon State to win. Is that too optimistic from a Fresno State point of view?
I think it's fair. I think probably what stands out to me most about that Georgia Southern game is, as you mentioned, if they would have just got out of their own way in the first half, I mean, even if it would have been, say, 21-10, I mean, it would have been a really solid half. They would have just played two of those. You would have felt pretty good about the Bulldogs after over 60 minutes, but then you had ended up with one half that you were kind of concerned about and one half that was as dominant as could possibly be and ended up with that same type of score anyway. So I think as long as they're not outmanned in the trenches, and that's going to be a little bit of a test here. Again, probably not as good as Kansas. Should be a lot better than Georgia Southern in the trenches. They're going to have a much more competitive D-line, and the O-line is not probably not as strong as what the Beavers came in to Fresno State with a few years ago, but still a pretty veteran group and has some of that pedigree behind them. I think it's going to be a lot more of a battle. It's going to be a lot tighter, and you know, that's where Fresno State has to execute in some of the areas where, you know, if they get that third and long like they had at Kansas, hopefully infrequently, you know, they need to be able to pull the one of those off here and there. And if the like the Georgia Southern, where, you know, they can't afford those three turnovers or maybe even one of them. So if they can convert on some of the areas that maybe they've struggled with over six out of the eight quarters, I think they get this win. If some of those issues reoccur because the trenches are tougher and second and third down are a lot longer, then it gets a lot more challenging. And I think the defense can do some of the same things to the Beavers. So I expect both teams to be a little bit flustered with some of the situations they're going to be in, and whoever converts the most is going to squeak out a win in my mind.
Well, and look, no disrespect to Oregon State, but it was jarring to watch Cal come in there and be not merely victorious, but fully dominant in that game. I mean, it was Oregon State looked like a punch drunk fighter, for goodness sake. They just could not stop Cal at any critical point in the game. And if you'd have told me going in that was going to happen, Jackson, the one team, I would have thought it would have been Cal that would have had the problem. How surprised were you, not merely that Cal won, but they did it so easily?
Yeah, I did not expect it to be convincing. You know, the spread was basically the same as it was this week. Oregon State was favored much of the preseason. I think it swung to Cal a little bit before kickoff, but the Golden Bears had so many new pieces, you just didn't know what to expect from this team. And it sure looks like Cal's freshman quarterback, the real deal, Jaren Sungapuvitelli, just threw two touchdowns right off the bat, and it was 14-0 before you knew it. To Oregon State's credit, they held Cal to 4 yards per carry, so once the Golden Bears did get that lead and they tried to kind of grind it out, they did it, but it wasn't the same way Fresno State did to Georgia Southern by any means. So that run defense from Oregon State might be one thing to keep an eye out for. And again, if you're Fresno State and you're trying to exploit the same matchups, I'm not sure if E.J. Warner is going to go out and throw a couple of 40-yard passes in the first 10 minutes like Cal did. So, I mean, matchups are a big thing in all this. I think Fresno State was fortunate this past weekend that they matched up with the Georgia Southern team that probably their biggest weakness was on the D-line and at the linebacker position from just kind of the eye test from what I saw. And so you might get a Beaver team that is not all that much better overall but might have better strength to give you fits. And about the only thing they did well against Cal was slow down the run. So that's a little bit of a concern, even in a loss that was even more lopsided than 34-15 says.
Well, you're right, and that's why this is kind of the, I don't know if it's the tweener game particularly, because we know this was going to be a linchpin game, because we knew that after the Kansas loss, Fresno State, if it came in 0-2, could very well be staring 0-3 in the face. Instead, you win at home, and now you're on the road with a legitimate chance to go 2-1 during this particular stretch. You come home, you figure to beat Southern, although Southern can score points, so you have to be careful there. So you're looking at probably at worst 2-2, but 3-1 would be a really good, solid way to start things. That having been said, Jackson, how much of it was the fact that Georgia Southern is not quite at the level of Fresno State as opposed to Kansas? I guess what I'm asking is, if you were to put more of what happened in the second half on one team or the other, was it more that Fresno State found its footing and quit making mistakes, and that's why they rolled? Or was it the fact that Georgia Southern was just a little bit physically overwhelmed, which is something that outside of the Southern game, the Bulldogs probably will not see the rest of the way, and certainly did not see at Kansas, that kind of sizable advantage for Fresno State on the line?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Georgia Southern was not overly impressive in the trenches and in the box, but they also, I think, got worn down. I think probably the travel, the fact that it was so late Eastern time and the heat even to a degree, I think that defense started to wear out. And at the same time, you have to be a team that's capable of doing it. Last year's Bulldog team was on the field. They may have been able to take advantage of it, probably more so in the passing game, but they surely wouldn't have ran for 351 yards like Fresno State did, and then absolutely dominated from that standpoint. So I think it was a match of a good matchup for Fresno State, and they wore them down, and they were good enough to take advantage of it. So now Georgia Southern was an 8-win team last year, and they were picked second in the division in the Sun Belt, and you have to figure that they're as good, if not better, than quite a few Mountain West schools that are going to be on the schedule. So maybe Fresno State can do this several times over the course of the year, but it is going to be a different case against Oregon State, I would say, and a few opponents on the schedule that will be tougher. And that's where we'll see exactly where the measuring stick is for the Bulldogs.
Well, Raul had emailed in and it said, cat's out of the bag now. Everybody knows that Fresno State is going to run it, and this is how they're going to approach the rest of the year. So now all the opponents know, and my counter to it, Jackson, is everybody knew already. I guess what I'm getting at is what we saw in the second half last Saturday was exactly what Matt Entz did at North Dakota State to great success, and what he made clear he wanted to do here. This was not, you know, we were talking last week or whenever it was about Bear Bryant at the start of the 70s inviting John McKay and a great USC team into Tuscaloosa with the specific goal to show those folks down in the Southeast that Bear Bryant needed to be able to fully integrate his team if he were going to be competitive going forward. So he wanted McKay to come in with USC and show those folks that they were going to have to open their minds, and I'm being kind here, as you know, to the realities of major college football and to take their own prejudices and kick them aside so that they can, for the betterment of the program, bring in the kind of athletes they needed to. And SC went in there and just, particularly Sam Cunningham, who wasn't really even a starter at that point, went in there and just destroyed Alabama at home. They beat them by 21. They could have beaten them by 70, for goodness sake. But the next year, when they opened in L.A. at the Coliseum, because Bear Bryant, as much as he needed to have Alabama lose, he didn't like getting his rear kicked, he very quietly went to Daryl Royal, his buddy from Texas, and during the offseason switched to the wishbone and didn't tell anybody and exchanged game films with USC and still didn't tell him. And the Trojans found out after the first series of the game at the Coliseum that Alabama was running the wishbone. And because of it, by the time SC figured it out, Alabama snuck out of there with a win. Well, okay, that was a great win, but it also told everybody else in the Southeastern Conference, look out, Alabama's running the wishbone, right? Okay, that was cat out of the bag. This was not, was it? What we saw Saturday night, doesn't everybody in the conference already know this is exactly what Fresno State is going to try to do the rest of the year? Didn't they know that before the Kansas game as well?
I think so. I mean, they've been pretty clear about what they wanted to do and what kind of team they wanted to be. They weren't overly specific about what, how they were going to do it or what it was going to look like, but you can only imagine Smash Mouth offense and then that type of running attack looking so many different ways. So it's been pretty much what we anticipated. I think you can look at Georgia Southern and say, but at halftime, I'm sure they knew what was coming, and they just had no way of stopping it. So it is an offense where you want to be able to execute even when teams know, you know, you're not trying to really catch people off guard with this particular approach. But I do think it was interesting. Fresno State came out, very first drive, 57 yards downfield, 50 through the air. I think that might have caught Georgia Southern off guard more than all the running that they saw later in the game, and maybe had to tinker their defense to not allow the Bulldogs to kind of dink and dunk it down the field with the passing game. And by the time Fresno State got going, it was just too much to handle.
Normally you'd be with me twice a week, but the schedule this week a little bit different. Jackson's traveling tomorrow as well. So this is our only visit. So in the last few minutes here, Jackson, I will ask you, when you look at the performance of Warner, and, you know, Mark sent an email about what he would like to see in regard to improvement, the line play, but also have been so many emails about Warner, and that is the concern about the big mistakes. And, again, two passes that were ill-conceived, they were balls that should not have been thrown. I mentioned that his dad was in the stand shaking his head. Incidentally, whoever emailed in, and I've forgotten who it was, said, why didn't the folks at Fox go and talk to Kurt Warner, not about what was going on with his son right then, but just in general. The reason is because, again, guys, the Fox broadcasters were not there. There was no sideline reporter, and Dan Helley and Petros Papadakis were in Los Angeles at the studio. The dead giveaway is, one, when there is no sideline reporter, you can be suspicious. But, two, the remote mixed broadcast, you will see them start with a stand-up with superimposed behind them the field of play and the stands, and that usually means they are standing in a green screen at a studio, like you'd see at Sports Center or whatever, and they're trying to make it look like they're there when they're not. They didn't talk to Kurt Warner because they had nobody there to talk to him. But that having been said, Jackson, he was not pleased, I could tell, by his son's throws. Your level of confidence that EJ is going to get past this, because, again, it was the knock at Temple and at Rice, and for the first two games, that has still been a problem. He's got to stop that. Do you have the level of confidence that he'll be able to throw it and not make those kind of decisions that can really hurt Fresno State, particularly in a close game?
Yeah, it's, I think probably the biggest point is that the coaches don't seem to be too concerned or panicking about it. They pointed to how efficient he was. If you could eliminate those two throws from the resume, even over the fourth pick he's thrown, I mean, he's still got a pretty impressive completion percentage rate over two games when you wouldn't assume someone would in the way that the Kansas score looked. So they like what he's doing for the most part. They do know those mistakes could cost them in a critical game. And so far, Warner's not the reason the Bulldogs lost at Kansas, and he's probably not the reason they won against Georgia Southern. And I think they're trying to build a team that's the case all year long. But when you do get to a point where the game's close enough where whether he makes those interceptions or two or not, you know, then that's when it's going to come to a boiling point, I would say. And it's going to very well be that game. As close as the line is, you expect it to be tight. So it's one of those things, you know, I kind of got to see it first to believe it, just because looking at the way those interceptions came at Temple and Rice and taking a closer look, it was just kind of sporadic. It wasn't necessarily because he was getting pressured all the time or that he was forcing or taking too many shots. It was just kind of random. And if you throw 30 passes, you might have two of those sprinkled in there somewhere. And so we'll see if there's a way that they can curve it a little bit or they can make the offense even a little more conservative if they can afford to at times. And I think they feel all right about where they're at. But I know this Red Wave, it's got a little bit of PTSD from what happened last year. There was a lot of games, too, where you look at Mikey Keene's numbers and say, well, it's pretty good except for that one or two random mistakes he made. And
right.
You just don't want to get into close games where that's happening because that was really a turning point in a lot of them.
All right, in the few minutes we have here, and again, in weeks to come, we should have both the bookends on Tuesday and Thursday. This is literally having the difference on a Wednesday, and I know you do have to travel tomorrow anyway. But the Bulldogs would love to see not only the contributions of five backs, but to be able to have their primary backs, to have Donaldson have the kind of game he had. Certainly Luke showing the flashes, Ramirez being the hammer. Then you had guys like Arsenal or Gilliam who can come in. All right, that's ideal, but the lines have to dominate in order for you to have success doing that. We established earlier, at least I believe sincerely, you're going to see Oregon State's best shot. This is a back-up-against-the-wall kind of game. You don't want to lose two in a row at home. You certainly did not want to lose to Cal. Like I said, a lot of bitterness there in the way the Pac-12 broke up. You certainly don't want Fresno State coming in and eating your lunch right now when they are going to be a conference opponent next week or next year. Because of it, Jackson, Fresno State wants to run it. You know Oregon State is going to load the box. How is it going to play out? Are the Bulldogs going to be able to impose their will, or do they have to be aware that Oregon State is going to sell out in every way, shape, or form and dare Warner to not only beat them through the air, but to beat them without making the critical mistake? I mean, is that as simple as you can make it for this game, that it's on Warner in more ways than it's been the last couple of weeks?
I think so. You can probably expect that from Oregon State's defense. I think you're also going to see a Beaver team that's going to want to establish its running game as well. So I think you're going to see quite a bit of the same thing going on the other side of the ball. So a lot of small battles are going to decide who wins the war on this one, I'd say. And Oregon State does have Malik Murphy back there. He's a former, blue chip Texas signee, four-star guy, and started games at Duke. So it didn't quite look like it in game one for Oregon State. We'll see if they can figure out exactly how to get him going, because that could be a difference maker if he plays up to his potential. He's got a much higher ceiling, but probably played a lower floor than what Warner would. good in his first game with Oregon State. So I just think it's also looking at the past games, just evaluating the talent and really digging into things. There was a pretty big gap between Fresno State and Kansas, not as wide as I think the score should have indicated. There was a bigger gap between Fresno State and Georgia Southern than I thought there was, and that really played out over the course of the game. When I look at the Beaver roster, I see a lot of guys that Fresno State tried to get throughout the recruiting process or transfers that were offered at one time by Fresno State. So I do think the general talent level of this Beaver team is going to be probably on the closer to Kansas than it is to Georgia Southern, but I think this is also a Fresno State team that found its groove and is ready to be able to take that on.
All right, then the bottom line of this thing, Jackson, and again, it's never as simple as saying win the turnover battle, you win, because one more time, a turnover, if you're going in for a touchdown, you throw an out pattern at the 3-yard line and somebody picks it and goes 97, that can be a 14-point swing, as opposed to a third and long from midfield where you throw it down to the 10-yard line and somebody picks it off. It's as good or maybe better than a punt, but they're both turnovers, critical turnovers. If the Bulldogs win the critical turnover battle, whatever it might be in numbers but also in specificity, does Fresno State win the game if the turnovers don't hurt them?
I think so. I think I do feel good about Fresno State's coaching staff versus an Oregon State coaching staff that kind of had to learn on the job here after they lost Jonathan Smith to Michigan State. I feel like the Bulldogs have enough personnel in the trenches to get this one done. I think if they play to their ability, they should get out of here with a close win. And then turnovers are what's going to either shift it over to Oregon State or perhaps allow the Bulldogs to win in a little more of a comfortable fashion. So, I mean, it's always critical, but we talked all offseason about types of Fresno State games that could be decided by a play or two, and it didn't happen the first two games, but it very well could happen the third game.
Interesting game. Early start, a team that's going to be in your conference in the long term beginning next year. You have one game where you're dominant, one game where you're dominated, and now you have a chance to prove the point. So it should be a good one. Jackson, I appreciate it. Have a very safe trip to Corvallis. And one more reminder, what's going on the board for people that didn't hear earlier? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's currently 60% off of your VIP to join Barcode VIP. It's only $4 a month that way, so I hope people join. I have a lot of info from practice and from this previous game and a lot of previews and insight coming up on the Beavers as we go up to game day.
Well, I look forward to it. Again, have a great one, and I'll certainly be in touch, and we will visit twice next week. Take care, my friend.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto co-host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, and then the Giants will continue on in Colorado tonight at 5:10. Take a break. More on this Wednesday in the Bulldog Hour on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:51, about 4 or 5 minutes ago in the show. Thanks again to Jackson for his time. Thanks to Ori on the board. As always, Phil is coming up. Remind you, Phil, normally with you 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Radovid Ekin. Great conversation of Phil's show. Terrific furniture, the best you're going to find anywhere. And always some good eats. El Paso across from River Park. Stop in on Thursdays and see Phil, or give him a call on the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. I want to tell you all about the schedule for both stations. I will do that in just a moment. But first, one more reminder about our buddies at KFC. If you're on your way home right now, close to 3 o'clock, good for you. If you're looking at a 5 o'clock exit or anywhere in between or after that, keep in mind the KFCs have the great $7 fill-up special going on right now, and that is in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. One more time, crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. $7 each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pipe popper. So your choice of any of the three. Also, you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. And keep in mind, Tuesday you still have the terrific deal. That's the $10 eight-piece bucket or eight original recipe tenders. That's been going on for a good long while at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. And one more time, we're so pleased to have them aboard helping out financially at Fresno State. If you stop in to grab a bucket or two, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. Far as the schedule goes, it comes from Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering and Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed has been a great benefactor at Fresno State, particularly at the Lyles College of Engineering, where he's a very proud graduate, and a lot of people that were graduates of that college on campus at Fresno State work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. Huge boosters of Fresno State athletics. We appreciate everything they do for the station and for the university, and they allow me the time every day to tell you about the schedule. Again, the Giants coming up at 5:10. The Padres are down 7-2 in the sixth inning. They're having a very bad time with the Orioles, who are playing better ball right now after a really disappointing year for the Orioles. And the Mets have lost earlier, so the Giants are 4.5 back, 6 back of Padres for the wild card. We'll see if they can get there from 4.5 back. They need to sweep this series, and then they need to go to St. Louis and probably do the same thing. So we'll see how it goes tonight. Phil will bring you right up to game time at 5:10 and a first pitch at 5:40. On the docket on 790, we have the Sunbird Sports Show, the outstanding show that Paul Metters has all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That's 6 to 7 tonight. Paul also has his long-running and outstanding show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 on Saturdays, live from First Ring Sports. We are with you each and every day. At 2 o'clock, you can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Also, everything for the station, 1430, ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. I mentioned earlier, Phil with you 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, with his fine show Behind the Bench. And we have not only the Giants and the A's the rest of this week and for the rest of the season, and then the playoffs through ESPN Radio, but we have football starting on Thursday. We already have the Friday Night Lights feature going on, Clovis West. I think it's Edison and Stockton this week. Should be a terrific game on Friday. But professionally, the NFL kicking off, most people know this, on Thursday. Eagles and the Cowboys, that love fest starts things off. And then we have the 49ers, the Rams, and Raiders games. And it'll be the same way throughout the year as it has been for the last several years. All those broadcasts for the three teams of local interest. And then we've also got the national games on Thursday, on Sunday, on Monday, and then everything through the Super Bowl from Westwood One. And also keep in mind the Lakers are coming up in a little over a month, and we have all of those games, and we've got everything through the NBA Finals from ESPN Radio. So everything covered professionally, obviously locally. This is just the start of things with high school sports, as Phil, Paul, everybody be bringing you football, basketball, and baseball all the way around the academic year calendar. Thanks once again to Jorge and to Jackson. I'll talk to Matt Norville tomorrow, and then we'll talk to Brian Panish on Friday. We'll see how it plays out. The Bulldogs, 12:30, an early start when they kick things off in Corvallis on the CW on Saturday. This is KFIG Fresno.